Lord, as we meditate upon your word, upon the word made flesh, fill us with your light, that by the guidance of your Holy Spirit we may ponder these things in our hearts. This we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. With all of the preparations and the hurriedness we have getting ready for this day, we can sometimes forget to take a little moment, just a little one, and think about what it is we're actually celebrating. It's interesting. On Facebook, even this afternoon, there was a posting there that we should keep Christ in Christmas. And it's kind of a stab at people who use X instead of Christ when writing out the word. It's sort of a shorthand most people use. The reality is that that's exactly correct. That is the letter we should be using because, you see, Jesus' name in Greek begins with what we see as the letter X. It is the letter key, and it is the first letter of Jesus' name when we say Jesus the Christ. Christos is the Greek word. And so when we put X in front of Mass, we're actually saying Christmas. But you see, it's people often get so wrapped up in all of the divisions and the fighting and the worries about whether we're pure in our doctrine and our understanding that somehow we lose the purpose of the day. We have people criticizing others for not using the appropriate word for the day, when in fact, if we would ponder what Jesus came to do among us, it would be the last thing that we would do. In fact, we would be more concerned about bringing others to deeper awareness of what it is we celebrate. Not simply criticizing because, oh, they don't do it the right way. In fact, doing things the right way is the thing, very thing that Jesus came to tell us about. That doing the right things the right way isn't so terribly important. Now, I know we're Anglicans, we're Episcopalians, and we have to do everything just the right way. And if we deviate from that prayer book just a little bit, boy, we got trouble. Or do we? Maybe when we deviate a little bit from that which is most familiar to us, that we can actually think about something. Because if you're like me, when things are very familiar, like certain prayers that we say them and they sort of go on off of our tongue and suddenly we're not even thinking about what we're saying. That's actually very hard to read this Christmas lesson to you, this gospel text. Because I grew up with it, you know, the old version of that. I even threw a few of those words in there if you didn't notice, just because they come rolling out of your mouth. Sometimes, particularly, traditions can become hidebound. That word means basically that we get so wrapped up in something that we forget the very purpose for what we have come for. This night, this special night, is a night where we want to remember what it is Jesus came to accomplish. And to understand that, we need to hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. They were written long before Handel used them in the Messiah. Although that's where we normally hear them. They were written centuries ago, centuries before Jesus actually walked on the earth among us. They were written to a people who walked in darkness. And what the poet prophet is trying to say is that people were down. They were downtrodden. They were worried. They were depressed. If you've ever suffered from depression or know someone who has, it is as if a black cloud descends upon us. And those are the people that Isaiah addresses He says, a great light has shone. Isaiah is trying to buck people up because you see what's happening in Isaiah's time is that society seems to be falling apart all around them. And in fact, they are being besieged by an enemy. And they are afraid that it's all going to fall apart, that it's all going to go away. The life that they knew is going to be destroyed. But no, Isaiah says, that will not happen. Because the king will bear a son. And he will reign on the throne of David, his father. And he wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking at that moment about a real life situation, real circumstances. Maybe we need to take that to heart. For when we talk about preaching good news, when we talk about proclaiming joy to the world, they should not simply be hollow, empty words. We can look out into our world and we can see a world that is a little depressed. Constantly, with our 24-hour news cycle, we hear about awful things happening in the world, and even in our own nation, we are just a little bit worried. Those of us who are nearing or are in our retirement age now are looking at the stock market, for example, and getting very, very nervous. Well, that's a dark cloud. We look at our political situation in our life, in our world, in our country, and we wonder what's going to be happening over the next year or two. What really is going to occur? What's going to transpire? And it's all so uncertain. And that's good. That's good news. Oh, Father, what's wrong with you? That's not good news, but it is, because it makes us think what's really important. It makes us think what is really important about what we do here this night. It makes us realize that we're not just here to follow some sort of hollow ritual and say words that we've always said, but rather we come here to give witness to the world that Jesus has come among us, that Jesus has become one like us, that Jesus shared every dimension of our lives, every worry, every pain. Jesus understands us. And so when we are uncertain, when we are worried, when we are afraid, then we need to run to Jesus. We need to see not only a tender babe in a manger, but to realize that that night began a great work of God that changed the world. A great work that said the world will never be the same. Because those who would follow this Jesus, those who would follow this good news, would have the strength and the courage and the wisdom to stand against the tides of the world. That those who would follow this Jesus, this tiny babe born in a manger, as he move toward maturity and began to proclaim good news, those who follow his teaching are able to go out into the world and say, not to worry. Easier said than done, to be sure. But it is the challenge. It is the challenge that's given to us this night. It is the challenge that says to us, this is more than just a sentimental time. This time has real meaning in our lives. Like Isaiah addressed real circumstances, so too Jesus comes to us in our real time and is able to understand and to be with us even in our fear, our uncertainty, and our worry. Even as we walk in a cloud of darkness, a great light can shine. And that light is Jesus. The way that he taught us to overcome the things of the world is at once extremely simple and extremely complex. Because what he taught us was this: love one another. Sounds simple, but so very hard to do. We can spend our entire life seeking to fulfill that one command: love one another. The story is told of the Apostle John, who was the only one of the 12 that was not martyred. He grew to be an old man, it is said, and there were people who wanted to follow, to know John, because after all, he was an eyewitness to what happened with Jesus. And so they would come to him in his exile on the Isle of Patmos, and they would say, "Father John, teach us. Teach us what Jesus said. Give us wisdom." And he would simply hold up his withering hand and say, "Love one another." He would stop talking. And the young man who was seeking such deep wisdom said, "That's it?" And he said, "Yes." Now, at first, the man went away very disappointed, because he expected to get some wisdom of the world. But instead, he got that simple command. So, brothers and sisters, when we hear that command, we begin to understand that what came down on this night was not a tiny baby on a string, but rather a life that knows no end, and a life that is filled with love, so much love that he would give it up for us. So as we celebrate this night, what we need to ponder in our hearts is how best we can learn to love one another, and how best we can follow that way of love, how best we can become like Jesus, hearing the words of John the Apostle, grow in that simple wisdom that this is the way to eternal life. It is the way of love.